day. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's an honour. Thank you, Niall, for asking me to come and share God's word. And I'm blessed to be able to do that today. And I really enjoyed the worship today. The worship was amazing. I love when Jesus is lifted up in the songs and our hearts can rejoice about the goodness of God. Some of these songs are beautiful, and I felt the presence of God with me this morning and enjoyed the prayers and everything. So I've really enjoyed being with you up to now. So when I was asked to prepare a word as well, I prayed about it, and I've got two. My name's Charles Kingsman, by the way, and I'm involved in lay preachers as well. And the church of fellowship is at Southside Fellowship down in there, and I send greetings from them also. So the two scriptures I've got is two characters in the gospel. One of them was a man who was paralysed. He was called the paralytic because he could not walk. And the other one is a woman who was a sinful woman, and the two of them met with Jesus in a real and profound way. And I'm going to go through the two stories today and see how they link in, but also see how some people can meet with Jesus and not be changed, and some people can meet with Jesus and be profoundly changed as well. So I'll start, the reading today is in Mark 2. And take this off. At the beginning of the chapter. And again he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer any room to receive them, not even near the door, and to preach the word to them. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And because they could not come near, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through the roof, that was, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the Pharisees were sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, that they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately, he arose, took up his bed, and went in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I think this is an amazing story. I just want to speak at the beginning. It was heard that he was in the house. And I heard my sister this morning praying for revival. And I do believe with all my heart that God wants that for our churches. And it's when I do believe he's in here today, I feel his presence. It's but when the people heard in these days that Jesus was in this house, it was packed, it was full, because the mighty Jesus was there. He was there, he was doing miracles, he was forgiving sins, he was doing all the mighty works of God. And I just thought about that as I prepared, that when he's in the house and people hear about the great things that he can do, as we heard this morning about pride praying, when we share with people and they believe and we believe that he is in the house. We are the body of Christ. This is a church, this is a building, but we are are the body, but when we come together, people can come in and hear the word and be set free. I also want to speak about on preaching. He preached the word. It says, and to preach the word to them. There's a great importance in preaching of the word. Because in the word, we hear God's heart. But also when we're praying in our own lives, and we're reading God's word. But he preached the word. Oh, to hear Jesus preach the word. To hear him preach. He preached and spoke like no other ever spoke. We praise God for the Apostle Paul. We praise God for Peter, because Christ was in them, preaching the word just the same. Christ was in them, the hope of glory. But this man was sinless. This man was Jesus, and he preached the word to them. To be captivated, to be listening to this man as he spoke the word, the beautiful beatitudes, the healing power that was in him. So they gathered together in this place, and there wasn't any room to get in. Oh, that our churches would end up like that again. Would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? That they would be flocking to the house of God again to hear the preaching of the word, or even just feel the presence of God in our churches, because Jesus would be at the centre. And that's what was happening here. He was right at the centre of this house. I want to speak about the four men that carried this man to get to Jesus. And when they could come near because of the crowd, not even near the door. When they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was so they had broken through. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. I just want to speak about these four men. These four men are people that we want about us when we're coming, when we're in life. These men, what did these men believe? They believed that Jesus was the answer, didn't they? They were radical to get this man who was in. The thing was, this man never even had the power. Life had dealt him such a bad blow that he never had the power to get to that meeting that day. But guess what? It had four friends, or there was four people that had faith, and they had the ability to get him to the meeting as well. I pray with all my heart, brothers and sisters, that we get that faith. That we get that faith and we get that passion for to bring somebody to a meeting where they hear about Jesus. Their determination, they were not even put off when they carried them up on the stretcher or on the bed all the way up to the meeting. And they looked at the door and the door was shut. They never gave up. And there might be people that you're carrying in prayer. There might be people that you've got a heart for to see them come to Jesus. And I say, don't give up, brothers and sisters. Keep praying. Christianity is practical as well, isn't it? It's practical as well as spiritual. Sometimes it's just going and spending time with somebody. Sometimes it's picking them up when they fall down as well. But these people had that faith that they didn't want to give up. They were thinking in their hearts, if I get him to Jesus, he'll change. If I get him to Jesus, that's the answer. I just want to speak about breaking through. They had to go up, they climb up into the roof, and they were that radical, they were that passionate about getting this man to Jesus for his need, that they ripped the roof back and they draped them down to where Jesus was. When we know where Jesus is and we know how good he is, then we can bring people to him. We can lead people to him. We can pray for people. I thought about this as well, breaking through. They had to break through a roof, and there's many practical things that we have to do if we want to work with people to lead them to Jesus. But what about breaking through in prayer? Eh, brothers and sisters, breaking through in prayer. Have you ever been praying for somebody and you're praying, My sister there, he tears this morning. That's a good thing. Travail with tears and pray for people. Jesus, please touch that person. And the next thing, the person phones you. I'd like to come to church. Can you come and get me? Your heart just rejoices and you look to the heavens and you say, thank you, Jesus. This faith that these four men had is faith that every Christian should long after as well. I'm going to speak a couple of experiences myself. There was a girl, I'm blessed to work in the ministry of working with broken people, working with people like this person, who their lives are that marred with life and sin and things like that, that they cannot even get to places. You know, I work with drug addicts, I work with ex-offenders, I work with the elderly, I work with people that's broken in life, overseen by the grace of God, broken chains in here. And there was a girl came to us and she was that broken, she was kicking attitude all the time. I hear some of the stories, what they went through, and we kept loving her and kept helping her. And oh, she was hard work, honest. She was hard work. Might have been hard for them carrying him up. He might have been falling off and dripping him down, and they had to be in unity bringing him down. But she was, and we've got a great team about us in Broken Chains, but she was hard work. We sent her to rehab the night before she was going to go. She was saying, what do you want me to do? Cut my arm off? She was going in the train, the bus the next morning to rehab. I said, see if it's going to get you in the train, the bus, then cut your arm off. Do you know that? But she went the next day. Teen Challenge phoned me and they went, that's some girl you've sent us down. Oh, please pray for us. Please pray for us. But 3-4 months into the programme, she's learning about Jesus. She's getting taught about Jesus. She got, what a touch she got for Jesus. What an encounter she got for Jesus. Filled with the Spirit of the living God. She's over in India with orphans. She's at Bible College. She's been mentored by one of the good evangelists down in England, Marilyn Harry, you know. But it was only because of the grace of God we could get her to a place where she could meet with Jesus. We could get her to that place, and I'm not saying be anything special, because yous, beloved, are the body of Christ. And that's what these guys done. They got this man to the place where he could meet with Jesus. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Now that guy had another problem. He was paralytic. But when his sins are forgiven, Jesus set him free. This girl, Jamelia, had many problems. But see, when she got her sins forgiven, she gets set free from all other things. She's walking in victory today as well. Another boy, Gavin, that we were working with. He came around and he had been a drug addict. And he owed money to drug dealers and he came to Broken Chains and he started serving. Serving at the door, opening, letting people in. And one of the drug dealers says, I want my money. They'd run up a drug debt. And the church managed to give him £100 and he was working off the debt. And 1 week he was going to give him it and the guy never saw him and he knocked him down. Nearly broke his legs. And the guy came and he didn't know what to do. And we prayed and we asked God, what shall we do here? And the Lord opened up a door for him to go to Victory Outreach down in Manchester. Within a day he was away. And he was on the phone last night saying, I've been filled with the Spirit, Charles. I've been baptised. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I'm so grateful that I can walk with Jesus. We sent another wee boy down there who was a rugby player involved in stuff. He says, I've got him under my wing. He's next door to me and I'll look after him. He's praying and asking Jesus into his heart the day. And then he come on the phone and he said, Charles, he says, I've asked Jesus to forgive every sin the day. He says, I've started naming them and say, because I want to know that he's in my life as well. So God is good, brothers and sisters. I'm saying this to encourage you to be people of faith. You heard they want to reach out with the good news of the gospel of peace. And the Pharisee says, who can forgive sins but only God alone? I just want to say, Jesus, they looked at Jesus as a man and they looked at who he was, maybe Mary's son. But when we see Jesus, we know that he's the Son of Man. That's a prophetic name. That's a messianic name. When you read the Old Testament, the Son of Man was the Messiah that was to come, but he was also a son of a woman, Mary, but he's also the Son of God. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us, hasn't he? He's the one God that became flesh and came among us and sympathized with us and could be able to know. He was tempted in all things but did not sin. He's Emmanuel. He's God that understands us better than anybody. He is Emmanuel. He's also the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the one that was going to pay the price. He's the one when he forgave this man. The reason he could forgive sins is he's the very one that was going to pay the price for the guy's sins. And our sins, isn't he, brothers and sisters? He's paid the price as well. It also says in here, but immediately, so they're mocking. What would you do if you seen a miracle like that today? Would you rejoice? Would you be happy for it? They were raging about it. They didn't like it. They tried to find fault with them. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reason within themselves, he said, why do you reason about these things in your heart? What's it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, arise up and walk? I just want to say this as well. God knows our hearts. See if we think a bad thought about somebody. Because we all do it, didn't we? Judge somebody or something like that. Even when we're trying to walk with God, it can come in. But Jesus rebuked it. Jesus said, why do you do that? Is it no easier for me? You know? And I just pray that we all be sensitive to the Spirit of God. That we wouldn't. There is a time to say to somebody something's wrong. There is. It says, take the plank at your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the smock from your brother's eye. But also, there's a place where they were looking and no seeing the miracle that was in front of them as well. Arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. I wonder how this man would have felt after this. He'd have been buzzing, wouldn't he? His life totally transformed. I've seen it many times. I've seen it many times where people's life has been going nowhere fast. They've been paralysed by sin and the way their life has been. And one touch for this man, Jesus, has changed them. And that's how Andy's lifting his hands today, because he's had a touch for Jesus recently. Jesus has touched them. One touch for the King changes everything. The song says, isn't it? Just one touch for the King changes everything. Imagine the difference and the change in his life. How he would have been home. How he would have been able to walk and talk and work. The transformation would have been absolutely radical in this man's life. I've spoke about this. To put a title to this message. Get to Jesus in our need. We can come to Jesus, but these people came to Jesus in their need as well. And I don't know about you, but I've walked with Jesus 15 years or something, and he's never ever let me down. And see, when I think I've arrived and I've got it made, that's when the trouble starts. Amen. But see, when I know my need for him, for to come here and preach today, that I know I can't do it without him, without his grace, without his mercy. I can't help these people. I can't help Andy unless the Spirit of God helps me to help him. And he'll help others. And it's the way God works. We need him. What does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. We need him. Doesn't matter whether we're 20 years or 40. What did Jesus say? I can, without you, Father, I can do nothing. And that was the mighty Jesus Christ. And we are the same. So I'm going to go on now to my next little passage of scripture as well. And it is in Luke 7, verse 36. We'll start. Get to Jesus in our need. This woman we're going to speak about worship Jesus. She worshipped him in one of the purest worships in the Bible, I would say. She worshipped him, she valued him, and she got to Jesus in her need. But there was another man there, and he was a Pharisee, and the way he treated Jesus wasn't it the right way to treat a king, or even a person of God at that time. I'll read through. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He spoke to himself again, not to somebody else. That's the same again. God knows our hearts, doesn't he? He knows what we're thinking. Saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love the more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who is forgiven more. Then he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kisses, but this woman had not ceased from kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. What a story again. What a story of the merciful God about Jesus. How different people can meet Jesus and not engage with him in that intimate way. So I want to speak in the last scripture I brung. There was, they had to break through. And what they had to break through was a roof. They had to carry the man up with their faith and try and position to get this man to Jesus. And this lady had to come into this house where there was judgment, where there was criticism, where there was people mocking her for her sinful life. God doesn't say, you know, it's right to sin. God knows, but the thing is, we're all sinners, aren't we? Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what happened was this woman had to push by that because she knew that there was a man in the house. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him in the Pharisee's house and sat down. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of fragrant oil. And even for this woman to get this close to Jesus was hard for her. They ripped up a roof to get this man to Jesus, but this woman had to go by, carry the shame and the guilt and everything for her life. But she knew that if she got to this man, that things could be different. She could be set free. This man was holier than any man, but he was full of love and he was full of compassion. She'd probably heard of the things that he'd done and the things that he could do. And she came to worship her in a need. She came and worshipped him, but she also had a great need as well. And in her worship and in her treatment of Jesus, she got every single need met. If any of you had your needs met for Jesus, brothers and sisters, have you had your needs met for Jesus? When we come to Jesus, beloved, and we get our sins forgiven, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? This woman experienced this. The alabaster box would have been a great price it would have cost. I read before that the alabaster, you know, it's a kind of marble, and I know that they just could probably break off the top. But somebody had said in one of my readings one time that in the worship in Solomon's temple, one of the pillars in there was made of alabaster for the worship of God. And I don't see many places in the Bible where somebody worships God better than this woman. It's a beautiful sense of the worship of God, a broken spirit the Lord will not despise. And that's what this woman had. She didn't care what the religious ones thought. She wanted to get to Jesus, and she wanted to get forgiven. And in her getting, she'd done it the best way possible. Everything that the custom would have told to do in that day, she done with what she had. And I just think about our lives, that we can give God what we've got as well to worship him. She poured out, I'll read it. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who invited him, he spoke, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know what manner of a woman this is or who it is that's touching him. But she is a sinner." She's in this moment, this best moment, I would say, of her life. Would you agree? Probably the best, probably been great times after that, we're serving God. But this was their moment that she would meet with Jesus. And they're mocking and looking and saying, if he knew, because she's a sinner. See, what Simon didn't realise is we're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. And this woman just wanted to get to Jesus and pour out her love and weep at his feet. I just want to speak at this last bit as well. Simon answered and said, "I propose the one who had been forgiven more," when Jesus asked him the question. And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." And he turned to the woman. He turned to the woman and he said, "Do you see this woman?" So he's shown an example to Simon. He's saying, "Look at this woman. Look at him. She was, know what he was trying to do. Know what Jesus was trying to do here. He was trying to say, see this woman as I see her. Know as your religious mind tells you to see her. See her as I see her. I see her as lost. I see her as broken. I see her as a sinner the same as you, but you don't see yourself as that. I see her as a broken woman. I see her as something I want to love." You see, that woman, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to bring the measure of who he was to her. "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." When I was meditating this last night, I began to nearly weep because I was thinking, God, bring it alive. Bring the scripture alive so that I could see what actually happened. And I saw her with this ointment that she'd paid a price for, and I saw her breaking it, and I saw her weeping at Jesus' feet, and I saw her holding it on his feet. Their feet, I thought about his feet. Their feet carried the Son of God. Their feet touched lepers and they were healed. Their feet forgave sins. They carried the man that forgave sins. He's expressed image of the invisible God. Their feet were pierced with big nails. They were pierced right through for you and I and for this woman. I believe the woman saw that. I believe that the woman saw his feet and said, "They're the feet that's paid the price for me. The holes are in them now as he's in heaven, our great Lord, but he's here by his Spirit." But that woman saw. I do believe we can look. Are you as glad we can look back to Calvary and see what happened? This woman was looking forward. This woman was looking at his feet and saying, "They're the feet that's going to pay the price for all my sins." Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the revelation the woman got at the Master's feet. It doesn't say a lot about the Lord's anatomy. but it says a lot about his character. But when you think about his human body, that human body and their feet, when he came into the house, would you know when he washed his feet? He says if we do good to each other, we're washing feet. He was the one that washed his disciples' feet, wasn't he? And he said, go and do likewise again. Now the Pharisee, he came into the Pharisee's house, he never even treated them the way you would treat somebody. Did they think it was too good? But this woman's weeping at his feet, this woman's weeping with tears and pouring the oil in his feet. She treated Jesus right. So she did. She treated Jesus right. I just want to ask the question, brothers, and I feel the Spirit of God in this church today. How will we treat Jesus? How will we treat him? I want to love him with all my heart. I want to treat him right. I want to treat others right that he sends to me. I feel the Spirit of God in here today, and I thank God for an opportunity. But if we had a chance to bring him to our house today, how would we treat him? We do get a chance. We get a chance to love others. When he says you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. So there was two people met with Jesus. One was a Pharisee and one was a sinner. And this woman treated Jesus right. One wanted to find fault and one wanted to experience him in a real and deep and intimate way. I just want to finish with this. I don't think it's the case because I was like a great sinner that I can love God more than you. I believe there was a man in the Bible and his name was a man in whom there was no guile, Nathaniel. And Nathaniel was a man of God before he met Jesus. He was a seeker of God. So I'm in here saying, look, I'm forgiven much, so I love God more than you. I'm not saying that. I don't believe God's saying that. But this man thought he was had it, and he never. Okay? So you can be a seeker of God and love God and not be a great sinner. I believe that with all my heart. But we all need forgiveness. And the thing is, what I really think this story is about is the value of Jesus. How much do you value him? Do you value him really the greatest thing ever? Like this woman did. He's the most precious thing. And he forgives, even to the uttermost or even the guttermost. He forgives. And that's what I want to leave with you. Do we value him? And I believe in here we do. But I want to encourage with hearts to value him more. And have faith like the people that would carry a man to drape him down. Imagine the roof opened up and they come down the day, you know. This faith that we would reach out with Jesus, the love of God, and share him with others as well. Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you. I would like to close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for these two stories. And I pray, Lord, that we in here, the people of God, would value you as this woman did, Lord. And we would have faith like the four that took this person to get to you, Lord, where you forgave the person, where you healed them, Lord. And also look to this woman. I'd say it was the purest worship I've ever seen, Lord. So beautiful, Lord, and I thank you that I felt you've been worshipped in here. But I pray, God, that you would come and fill each heart here with a passion for you and passion for your name. And I pray you would remind us what you'd forgiven us of, Lord, that our passion would be lit and we would just be so in love with Jesus, Lord. So I thank you for this church. I pray you bless it, and I pray you continue to work through the leadership, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.